And then the people welcome us to the studio. Welcome to Gleaning and Gathering, the podcast where I talk about what I jolly well please.
That's right.
We're here in the studio one time again after a long hiatus. I like that word, hiatus.
It's a good word. What exactly does it mean?
It means a brief interval of lack of doing something.
Okay, makes sense.
So today I want to talk about doing it together. And there's been a few things that we've done together as a family.
A few.
In these last few weeks especially. And so I just want to take time to just talk about our life and what we're gleaning from life.
And gathering.
And gathering from life.
Okay.
So Longing for the Light happened.
It did.
A week ago.
Wow.
It's hard to believe.
That is hard to believe.
But Longing for the Light was just really, really special.
It was good. It was very good.
I felt like that God really helped us. It was a smaller group overall. Mm-hmm. We had several different sites that didn't participate the second time that participated the first time.
Gotcha.
Others that participated the second time that didn't participate the first time. So there was kind of interchange there. But roughly between 30 and 35 sites that ended up participating at some point, at some level. And best we could tell, between 700 and 800 people total.
Wow.
That participated in all those sites and then online.
Okay.
So just really thankful for the participation. Yeah. One of the things that, for me, looking back on it all, was probably the most special was our family doing it together.
Mm-hmm.
Right before we started, we went out to supper together and we just had a special dinner. All our whole family. Becca was home from college.
Yeah.
And so we just ate supper together, and then we got to the church together, and we started, and it was just us for the first little bit.
Yeah. I think Becca being home was a little bit different from the first time.
It was.
And I think that's kind of what contributed to the whole feeling of, like, completeness. We are all in this.
Yeah.
Like, the whole family was there.
Yeah.
And then Grandpa came a little later, and anyways, yeah. It was special.
Becca led the second watch of the night. You led the third watch.
That's right.
And I led the first and the fourth watches. And it was just a special time. And I think that that's something that I've been gleaning and thinking about this week. I had to make a decision on an event. There was a speaking opportunity that had come, and I had to decide what I was going to do. But there was a conflict between that speaking engagement and us participating as a family together at the regional student convention. And so I was weighing that and I was making all kinds of justifications, I guess, in my own mind of why I should do this and why this was a good idea. And most of those were based really in, you know, this is a great opportunity and fear of missing out, really. And so I was listening to a podcast this week, and in that podcast, he was describing an exercise that he has leaders do, and that is looking at their life from the perspective of being at their own memorial. So at their funeral, look at the first two rows. It's sectioned off. There's the casket in front. Who's in those first two rows? And thinking about who's in those two rows, who in your life, you're the only one, the only father, the only husband, the only brother, whatever. Who are those people? He went on to talk about the reality that for most leaders, we live our lives making decisions for people in rows like 24 through 30. And I remember as I was listening to that, just thinking, that's where I'm at right now. And it really helped give me so much clarity in that moment about that decision. And when I made the decision and shared that with the people that had asked me to come, there wasn't even like a lot of disappointment. And the reality was that somebody else will fill that slot. there's not even anybody going to be there. It's like, really? Eric Heimlich's not coming? Oh, can't believe that.
We tend to overestimate our own position in other people's lives sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, especially in rows 24 through 30.
Right, right. You talked about earlier about the whole idea of disappointment.
Yeah.
Who are you going to disappoint?
Yeah, I disappoint people every day. I tell people no. And the question is, who am I going to disappoint?
Right.
Am I going to disappoint people in rows 1 and 2?
Mm.
Or am I going to disappoint the people in rows 24 through 30? Every day, I don't have enough time to be able to do all the things that people want me to do.
And leadership is about making decisions a lot of the time. And those decisions have to be made. And there are always going to be people on the other side of that decision that are like, man, really?
Yeah.
But yeah.
But being able to say, okay, I'm going to put the big rocks in first.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, after I made that decision, no, I'm going to be with Sarah and Sam. Sarah has this regional student convention and one more, and that's it.
Right.
That's all she has. And Sam may have three or four more. I don't know. But there's a limited number. Less than five. Me being there and being part of that experience is really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back. I was just looking through the picture album that you left out on the table last night.
Oh.
And how many experiences that were in your life that I was there for.
Mm-hmm.
Those regional student conventions that I was there, you know, here we are, a motley crew walking down the sidewalk as a family, probably much to your chagrin sometimes as we were, you know, we were there in all of our faded glory. And yet we were there together.
Yeah.
And we did it together. And I know we stuck out to a lot of people that were around us, like all these other kids and young people, they're, you know, mm-hmm. they're not there with their whole family. It's just, you know, them and the school group.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, we did us.
Right.
Everywhere we went.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were challenges with that for sure. And every year I think, oh, we're not going to do this again. This is just ridiculous. You know, trying to drag a 1.5-year-old
right.
To a regional student convention or international student convention while we're trying to, you know, manage and. Yeah. And do everything else. But,
and thankfully you had a loving wife that was willing to support you in all of that.
She really did and couldn't have done it without her for sure. But I just see looking back, you know, the value of doing things together.
Mm-hmm.
And even when it was hard, even when it was difficult, like I don't regret that.
Right.
We're getting ready to go to the Interchurch Holiness Convention next week. The big shindig in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And it's going to be
exciting.
It's going to be an event. A couple of years ago when Andrew Durst interviewed us eating out of the back of our van. that's kind of, you know, that's what we do.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to go there together, we're not eating out at the big restaurants. You know, every meal, there's no way to afford to do that with bringing eight people there.
Right.
But we went. And for the last few years, you know, we've done it together and done it on a missionary budget.
Yeah.
And it's worked
because
we've made it work. And I think that's one of the things that I think as a leader, prioritizing family a lot of times is something we give lip service to. But it really does come down to what are you going to say yes to?
Mm-hmm.
And equally, what are you going to say no to? So I'm curious.
Because every yes is defended by 1,000 no's.
Absolutely.
You're curious. Sorry.
I'm curious. I'm always curious. About your perspective in all of that as the oldest Heimlich child. I'm sure you are. From my perspective, like I have this probably idealized version of we did it together.
Right.
Wow. Yay.
So beautiful.
But from your perspective, as a child that got drugged through that.
I think I have a more positive perspective than some of the members of my family because of my temperament. I think you would get a really full view if you had all of us here, but
right.
I'll give my perspective. I think one of the things that you mentioned earlier, you to your chagrin was, I think the word you used, I'm not sure.
Probably.
But I think the reason I wasn't embarrassed was because you had never been embarrassed by me. Even when I was, I don't remember the first time we went with you. I might have been 10, maybe. I had to do my hair. I had to be able to do my hair on my own. And so, and that was kind of the
traveling with daddy trips you're talking
right,
about.
Right, right. If we wanted to go with you somewhere, we had to be able to take care of ourselves a little bit. But it was really, really young. And I remember just lots of those experiences not fitting at all. Like, we went to youth camps when I was definitely too young to be going to youth camps. And we hung out with you. And I remember meetings with people that are super important. Like, I look now and I'm like, wow, I was in that meeting. Then it was just, of course I'm with daddy. Of course I'm here. And understand, like, learning to be confident in those settings came from you never being embarrassed that I was there.
Mm.
Anyways, never at least letting me feel like like you were.
Mm-mm.
And that, I think, allowed, once I got to the age where it wasn't necessarily like the people around me, the friends that were my age, didn't think it was cool to be with your parents anymore. I didn't really give a care.
Mm.
Of course, my parents are going to be with me. They always had me with them. And I don't know that that's the way that it's going to be for every child.
But sure. Yeah.
I also remember stories are obviously really important in shaping you.
Mm-hmm.
And stories of people, of kids that would reject their parents once they got in like the teenage years. And that always bothered me. It was it didn't just bother me. It really, really made me angry and sad. And I think that kind of, those stories also helped shape, I will not be that. I will be the kind of person that loves my family deeply, no matter how I feel about the situation, and is willing to walk into IHC completely unprepared if that's where daddy takes us. I don't know. There were lots of experiences along the way that helped to prepare us to enjoy being together, even in those really hectic times when you're looking around. Like, IHC is hard sometimes because it can become a giant fashion show if you're not super careful. But being intentional as a family, doing it as a family, discussing as a family what's going on, and remembering the reason that we go, that it's not just about making a good impression. Mm-hmm. It was never about that for y'all. And so it doesn't have to be about that for us. So I think it's really hard for families if they are trying to start that journey when their children are teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we want to be together. Everybody, let's be together. When you didn't really want to be together when they were 4 and 5.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I meet a lot of parents that, it's like that song, my mom and dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
Right.
That's the way they live. It's like, you are a giant inconvenience to me. And I would rather be golfing than spending time with you.
Shots fired.
I've never liked golfing. So
right.
There's that. I mean, you either get it in the clown's nose or you don't. I mean, I'm just kidding.
Yes.
I think, though, that for me, like, being together as a family was a priority. Mm-hmm. It was always a priority.
Right.
And it wasn't something that, like, okay, we're going to find a babysitter and then we're going to go do our thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were times when we may have had a babysitter. I'm trying to even think. I don't even remember times.
Right.
Like, really, for the most part, like, we did it together.
I do remember a season. I don't remember how old I was, but the ministry and the big family began to take, I don't know anyways, it began to take a toll on your marriage. Mm-hmm. And you had to remember that, like, you and mama came first in this whole situation. And so, like, taking time to invest deeply in your marriage then had a trickle effect. And because you two wanted to be together, we wanted to be with you. And the whole experience became, like, the whole family time became much more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. So I do think, like, if you need to take a get a babysitter.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
There's.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, there's that balance in everything.
Right. Right.
But the issue of just, I would rather it just be me, or I would rather do my own thing than to include our family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I honestly, and I've said this multiple times to you guys, but there's nobody I'd rather be with. Nobody. And there are a lot of times when there are those choices, I think, as a leader, where what am I going to prioritize? Mm-hmm. And yeah, we say family is important. Family comes first, family, all that. But then the phone rings.
Right.
And it's somebody who loves us and has a wonderful plan for our life.
Right.
And they're going to make requests, at least, on our time. And especially in ministry, having that clarity before you ever say yes.
Right.
Who do I want to be?
And who do I want to disappoint?
And who am I going to disappoint? Because I'm going to disappoint somebody.
Yeah.
And saying yes to this is saying no to something else. It just is. It's a zero-sum game. There's only 168 hours in the week.
Right.
And so every single week, being intentional adds up.
Mm-hmm.
The way we spend our days is the way we spend our life.
Right.
And a lot of people, you know, I this is the life I want, but I'm going to spend my days somewhere, some other way.
Right.
Well, it doesn't work that way.
Right. Yeah. I think recently I've been chewing on the whole idea of loving your neighbor, and that happens in the really tiny day-to-day stuff. It's super easy to, it's not easy, but it's much more, I don't know that the word is fulfilling, but it feels more fulfilling to surrender the big things to God. So I'm going to go to Africa for God.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to, I don't know, fill in the blank. I'm going to go speak at this thing because it will
affect hundreds of people.
Right, right. Change, like, help the kingdom. And when God's only asking you to surrender the right now, much of the time, if you have to make a decision, that's still in the now. Those choices that you make right now. And he asks you to surrender one step at a time. Mm. And often those choices are with a very small group of people.
Right.
You very rarely do we live our life on a stage. Much of the time, you only have one person that you're talking to. Mm-hmm. And being intentional about loving that person that's right in front of you. And for many of us, God has given us one family. Some people have lots of different connections in lots of different places, and that is their blessing, and that is their, like, what God has given them. But for most of us, it's like five people.
Right.
And those are the people that God has given you to love.
Right.
To want their best for. And the thing that Jesus has been talking to me about is that in order to love them well, I have to trust him with my good, because often my choices are made, and I'm not saying this the way I want to, often my choices are made based on, okay, what is good for this person that is not going to inconvenience me too much, or that's not going to take too much from me, because I need to keep what I need to keep my resources for myself, and maybe I'm going to need them later. So how can I do this conservatively? And anyways, not inconvenience myself too much.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the way of Christ is this reckless abandon of self, but not in a way that doesn't acknowledge self. It's simply an active trust that God has your best at heart, and that God is going to give you the best. And then acknowledging when he does give you the best, acknowledging the beautiful day that you're given, acknowledging all of the beautiful things that he allows you to experience and do and feed on, and those, like, living with a thankful heart, but doing that from a place of trust that mm-hmm. Jesus is taking care of you. So you can go and take care of others. You could focus your whole life on loving your neighbor as yourself, that he's got the rest of it. He's got all of your needs under control. You can focus on others. And I think that's something that, like, oftentimes we forget, because I mean, with this speaking engagement, we always have a bag of motivations, but I think there was definitely like wanting to further the kingdom, but there was also this need for personal, I don't know what the personal needs were, personal needs to be seen or to get the message out, to do something valuable. All of those things are needs, don't mm-hmm. get me wrong, but they're needs that God is going to take care of in your life. Mm-hmm. He will give you those opportunities in his way and in his time.
Yeah.
I don't know if I said anything that made sense.
No, there's a lot there. And I think that trusting God with your today, and trusting that he is able to take whatever he's given us to do in that moment, and that we don't have to try to make something of that that he didn't intend us to make. I think that's really important to learn. And I think it's something that I continually have to come back to, mm-hmm. because you're right. I mean, it is a mixed bag. This speaking engagement would give me an opportunity to be able to, you know, share a message, but it also would give me an opportunity to be able to, you know, promote who I am and what I'm doing. And so is there a financial angle to that? Mm-hmm. Is there a desire to, you know, spread my own notoriety in some mm-hmm. way? Or is it just purely, I just want to help people?
Right.
But who?
Right. Right.
I'm helping people while I'm not helping my wife
right.
and my kids at regional student convention, because like I'm in another state and I can't be there for them. And so who am I going to disappoint? Mm. And then what is God calling me to?
Yeah.
Because if all I'm doing, and I'll put that in quotes, all I'm doing is just serving our family, mm-hmm. is that enough? Mm-hmm. If that's what God's calling me to, is right. that enough for me to just be there and to be present? What are you doing here? I'm here with my children and with my family. That's what I'm here. I'm here doing that. I'm being a dad. Is that enough? Like, do you have to have a title or a role in mm-hmm. that is... Well, I'm speaking. I'm here because I have a job to do. And I think that many times that's where we get caught. I know that's where I've gotten caught. You know, that feeling of, if somebody asks me what I'm doing here, I better be able to give them mm-hmm. a legitimate reason why.
Other than just I'm being.
Yeah. I mean, if God is calling me to spend the afternoon reading and praying and seeking him, mm. is that enough? Or do I need to be doing something more significant than that?
More significant.
Quote unquote. Yeah. Right. But I think that's the thing, is that like, if we do really believe the things we say we believe and the kinds of things that we say are important, then are we going to prioritize? One of my favorite verses of scripture in regards to this is in Psalms 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. One thing. One. Not 48. You know? And I think that's the thing, is that a lot of times this idea of, okay, what do I need to be doing?
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the story of Mary and Martha.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesus says one thing is needful.
Yeah.
And you've pointed out that it's the thing is not there.
In Greek,
it's
yeah.
It's just one.
One is necessary. One is needful. Yeah. And that one is him.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary chose right. that. And I think that if we are going to, as leaders, be in a place of long-term health, it has to flow out of being with God.
Yeah.
And that all the priorities that we have come from that central desire, one thing I desire, one. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else flows out of that, because he has given me a wife, and he has given me a family,
mm-hmm.
and he has given me friends. But keeping those in the proper order and keeping my life in the proper order is a real challenge.
Right.
Because it's easy to think, you know, what am I going to do? And how am I going to support myself? And where's my bread going to be buttered? And all these other things that seem to be super important,
mm-hmm.
and that we can make a case for being super important. And yet one thing.
Right. Right.
And to trust that God takes care of the grass of the field. He takes care of the birds of the air. Will he not take care of you, O ye of little faith?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, these are a few things that I'm gleaning along the way. And I just want to encourage leaders, if you're thinking about your life right now and thinking, you know, I really am not in that kind of place.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I need to make some changes. I just want you to know, I would love to schedule a time to have a conversation with you. One of the things that we're doing right now is working with leaders in this area of trying to help them in a way that will be able to help them put the big rocks in first right. in their life.
Kind of all the pieces together.
Yeah. So if you're interested in that, you can learn more at HeimlichFamilyConsulting.com. So there's my plug for that.
There you go. I think something before we go, I know we need to end. We just recently went to a musical production called Pilgrim, and it's a musical adaptation of the Pilgrim's Progress.
Yeah.
One of the things they do so well is a visualization of God in the story. He is present the entire time. The king is how they refer to him. And he never leaves Christian's side. He's throughout the story. But the visualization of him being next to Christian is something that I don't think I've ever gotten so... I felt kicked in the stomach halfway through. Just the idea that I am so quick to do absolutely everything but pray.
Hmm.
When God is right next to me, and we know that he is near, we know that he's present at all times, but that's become a phrase that we use ambiguously, like he's in the air or he's mm-hmm. present, but he's present with everyone. And so he's not really near you, but no, he's with you. His spirit walks right next to you and he is focused. His eyes are on you. And that understanding that our God wants relationship with us so much that he sent his very son,
mm-hmm.
that one thing is needful is not just one thing, but mm-hmm. it is a person, a very real and present person that is walking next to you. So it's not difficult to reach out. Sometimes it's difficult to get quiet,
mm-hmm.
but he's so close. Anyways, I think it's important to remember that it can happen in the next 3 seconds. It's not like something that you have to get a 5-year plan for. Not that you don't.
No, it's true. And I think that's a great word, a great reminder. I think that the challenge for many is a challenge I've faced in my own life. And that is, I know these things are true. I've got resources that tell me this.
Right.
I've got books that I've read, all that, all the stuff. But the reality of doing it day to day.
Right.
And the reality of walking that out many times means that I need somebody to help me to walk alongside with mm-hmm. me in that.
Yeah.
Again, anybody can get on YouTube, find videos, and learn how to play the piano or any other instrument, frankly, for that matter. But most people that I know that actually learn to play the piano
have a coach,
have a teacher.
Yep.
They have somebody who's saying, okay, I want you to practice this piece this week, and next week we're going to talk about that, and we're going to see how you did. Could somebody do that on their own? Sure. Do they? No. I don't know many people who do. And I think that the opportunity to be able to work together on things and to have a guide, have a coach, have a helper can be very helpful in getting to the kind of life that we really do want.
Right.
And aspire to. But many times we wrote it down on the paper and now we can't even find the paper. You know, it's like so fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been gleaning a few things this week, but just the whole idea of being together, and I'm looking forward to being together again this next week in Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
That's right.
So look forward to recording some episodes there, meeting some friends, talking with some folks. It'll be a great time. So
sounds good.
Until then, for Gleaning and Gathering, God bless.